5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
Panic Room Radio Show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Hello? I'm back on. Hello?
Hi, what happened?
Hello. So I don't know. We're having technical issues. Let's start again. Sorry, we can call that in post. We're all right. So, welcome to the new Panic Room, episode 214, blah, 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 on the 19th of November, 2020. And thank goodness for post-production, I have to say. But just pretend you're not there. I'm gonna because you always shout at me if I don't play your intro. I get shouted at. So so let's do that now, shall we?
Come on, I'm with you.
Christina. How are you this evening?
Oh, you know, I'm going to say the same thing that I said last week. Yay, it's the end of the week. And then you're going to tell me it's not really the end of the week. And, you know, that's that and it's time to get up are like the meanest thing people have said to me lately. And I just don't accept it. because, you know, with the way this whole year has gone, by the time I get to Thursday, I'm like, yay, it's the end of the week. And, you know, so let me just think it's the end of the week and I'll have a much better night.
Is that why you do nothing Fridays then? Is that what that is?
I do. I do stuff on Friday, I promise. But, you know, the weekend, I work straight through on the weekend. So, you know, there's that too. But we've been busy. We've been so busy that it's just not really, you know, much time to be taking off right now. So, you know, yeah. So how are you? We've had a wonderful week, haven't we?
Have we? I don't know.
No sarcasm.
No, it's just been... I thought last week was bad for idiots, but this week's been even better.
It has. It has. But, you know, again, I'm going to say it. It's the end of the week. Woohoo!
Yay!
So, can we take the day off tomorrow? That'd be kind of fun.
I wish. I got a lot of stuff
right.
to do. So do you.
I know.
You have lots to get done tomorrow.
You know what? Okay, this is a very important question, and me and the boyfriend were debating earlier today. We were going to get pizza tonight for dinner, and there was roadkill in the road. And I didn't know what it was because I didn't really see it until we passed it. So I asked him what that was. And he said it was a possum. And I said,
right.
Opossum. I said, opossum. And he said, no, it's just possum. So is it opossum or is it a possum?
It's opossum.
Thank you. So then he says that, he's technically there's an O there, but you don't pronounce it. He says the O is silent. That's not true.
No, it's not. No, it's an opossum.
Silent O. Thank you.
No, he's wrong. Just tell him he's wrong. Tell him from me.
He's wrong.
You're wrong.
Baby, you're wrong. You're wrong, baby. You're wrong.
Yeah, you're literally as wrong as can possibly be, so just shut up.
I'm like, there's no silent O's, is there? So that was our debate the whole way there and back with the silent O's and, it actually had me wondering because, what is the one word? Oh, yeah. Excerpt. You see, I pronounce that weird. You say I pronounce
excerpt.
A letter or something.
Yeah, you pronounce
excerpt.
The P, which nobody in the whole history of mankind has ever done. Ever.
Excerpt. I have a P in there. Yeah, but there is a P.
You like a P.
I don't think it's a silent P. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
like a little P in the middle, but yeah, it's been my tolerance level has just dropped this week with one thing or another. It's just been a barrage of idiots just coming at us, and I'm just fed up with that. Just the stupidity. I went to the British goods shop. On Sunday with my daughter to buy, mostly to buy chocolate. We bought like $200 worth of chocolate because British chocolate, you know. Yep, duh. And I'm in there and I just slipped got to wear a mask, slipped it just below my nose because my glasses were steaming up. And there's this woman, one of the punters, just staring at me. And I was like, I made some sort of joke about, I'm not following you around this. Because it seemed everywhere I wanted to look, she was there, and I said, I'm not following you. I'm making a bit of a joke of it. And then she had a go at me because then you've got to put away your mask properly. And I was like, well, seriously? You're going to make an issue? You've got your mask on, so you're all right, love. Really? Yeah, what difference does it make? So, you know, if you've got your mask on, I'm all right. So what does it matter?
Yeah.
You know, to be fair, I should have just hit her. I should have hit her. be honest. That would have been the fair way of dealing with the matter. But the whole mass thing is just, I think it's finally got to me. I'm at the point where I don't want to go anywhere. You know,
I
want to take my daughter to the movies, because The Croods 2, the sequel to The Croods, great movie, is out now, and would love to go and see the movie. It's just too much trouble. You know, I took the kids to the Chinese buffet a few weeks ago. And it's too, you got to wear your mask, if you go to the buffet, you got to put your mask on and these plastic gloves. And it's like, really, I was saying to the kids, and I said, I'd just rather order in. You know, the fun of going somewhere. It's just gone. It's just too much fucking trouble. Yeah, I said the other week, you know, trying to go out, trying to find somewhere to eat with my lady friend, you know, after 8 o'clock on a Saturday night, and places, oh no, we're shut. What? What now? Most places are just opening and you're shut, or we're only doing take. Once you say, you go sit in your car and we'll come bring your food out. It's no. Forget it. No, I want to be out. This is a social thing. I don't want to sit in my fucking car. You know, and I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just getting old and grumpy.
No, definitely not. I mean, I think it was a couple of weeks ago that I was so frustrated over the fact that my son, who is doing the, I guess it's a hybrid, whatever, they go to school some of the days in school and then they do the computer other day as well, he came in contact with a kid who tested positive, so he had to be quarantined for 2 weeks. And, you know, but they, you know, here, this is my gripe, I think, about it, is that they have to wear the masks in school anyway. So if people are, the masks work. Well, if the mask works, why did my son have to quarantine for 2 weeks? He's not sick. He had no symptoms. And I was even told by the school, if I go get him tested, he still has to stay out the full 2 weeks. And you know, some kids are doing great with the distance learning. Unfortunately, mine doesn't. Yeah. He is just, his grades tanked at the beginning of the year because of the distance learning. And then as soon as they sent them back, he started bringing them up again. And it was like, yes, I was so happy. And then for the last 2 weeks, there they go. They're tanking again. And I'm like, seriously? And it's like, it's going to keep happening. I mean, another kid's going to test positive and they're going to send him home again for 2 weeks. And it's just, and then to top it all off, I get sent home a note from the school saying he was absent. Like, well, you said he couldn't come in. What do you mean he's absent? Well, he didn't sign into his one period. Well, oh gosh, yeah. So I'm over it too. Yeah. I wish that, you know, I mean, some of the kids are just, they do so great with the distance learning, and I wish he was one of them, because I'm at the point now where it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. I'm like, he's not sick. There's nothing wrong with him. And I feel like he's being punished because, of, you know, I do. I feel like he's being punished. And, he got to go back today for the first day. Yay. And then, you know, of course, tomorrow's Friday and then it's got the weekend. And, this year is just a mess. It is. I'm just, everybody, I think, is hoping that we have, like, such a wonderful, you know, next year, and is just and I don't know. Is it going to be any better? How is it going to miraculously get better? Yeah,
it won't.
So
bearing in mind, you know, early part of this year, Trump was saying it was a hoax, and then it was, it'll go away. You know, it'll be gone by Easter, and it's just, no, it won't. It won't go away. That's the point. It won't go away. Smallpox is still with us, and typhoid and TB.
Yeah.
The smallpox specifically, we've eradicated it. You know, they said we eradicated it back in the, was it 60s, 70s. It's still there. Bubonic plague, you know, there's some outbreaks of that. These diseases do not go away. We have immune systems. Immune systems are designed or created by God, whichever way you lean, you know. But they're there thoughts and prayers. They're there for this very reason, that's why we have them, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm being
naive
or not. You know, I think I had a whole blow up on online. I think it was the irony that I posted the irony that you know, somebody that said, you know, Jim, you know, you're obviously very intelligent, and yet you still I'm tied. Well, think about that, you know? Think about what you just said there, you know? I'm not some... Somebody actually then on the back of that accused me of being a Trumpster. And I said, you clearly...
Oh, God.
Exactly. You clearly do not know me, to be honest.
Right.
And, yeah, people just because, oh, you know... I tell you, so there's a great show. Anybody listening, got to watch. It's kind of a documentary, dramery thing called The Social Dilemma. And
I saw that.
And
I
watched it.
Really?
A bunch of people said you got to watch it. My agent said, Jimbo, you got to watch this. And I watched it over the last couple of nights. And I look at my phone differently now, and I'm starting to question.
True.
The kid, certainly my daughter, and I spoke to this evening, and put the phone, and I can see it's an addiction. And one of the things that, and again, one of the arguments that came from this thing that I said, you know, somebody said, you know, I've read lots of research that said masks are effective. And one of the things, and I actually said it before, I saw it on the show, it's just reinforced, it was that, you know, we look up the things that prove us right. And I will guarantee that lady who said that has never looked up anything. She will never have Googled, you know, are they ineffective? Because, you know what I mean?
It's a
fascinating document. And it takes the way we look at social media. It's basically social media runs us.
You know, I have an aunt who has very different political views than I do, and she will post things. And we occasionally get into arguments, just friendly arguments online. And, you know, it's funny because some of the things that she'll post and she'll say back to me, what I'm trying to say is that that whole social dilemma thing, when you watch that and they talk about how, you know, everything is geared toward whatever it is your beliefs are or your, you know, and it's true. I mean, she's not even seen any of the things that I'm seeing, and I'm not really seeing any of the things.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to try to find, you know, a source that is you know, both sides. You can't just pick one or the other because they are making us just be very, very polar opposite right now. I mean, I'm not sure exactly why or what the end game is, but I mean, I don't think that there's ever been a time that the two political parties have been so divided. I mean, you could usually always try to find some kind of common ground. But you're not allowed to anymore. You have to, you know, believe a certain way, and if you don't, you are shunned. It's gotten scary. It really has.
So, well, that's one of the things that they said was that, you know, funnily, I've just been working on a book with a client of mine that is based on this big divide, the reds and the blues. And people are even beginning to talk civil war. I mean, it might not be a, you know, muskets at dawn sort of civil war, but a civil war, you know, like you say, in the olden days, you know, you could have friends who had opposing political views. Now, again on social media, you know, he's a Trumpster. I have friends who are Trumpsters. I was a good friend of mine who is the mother of one of my daughter's friends, and we actually sat and watched one of the debates together. We took the kids skating, and we sat and watched it, sat huddled around my phone and watched it. But yeah, I would never think of so I'm not going to be your friend anymore, and I don't want to associate with you.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I've been through my life, you know, even my dad is a hardened, he's a Labour man, which would be, I guess, the equivalent of your Democrat. And I've always been sort of the other way. But we have lively conversations, and I'm never going to fall out with my dad because he's been a labor.
Right.
He was a union man, worked for the coal board. But now it's, you know, that you've got people, you've got families splitting because of political beliefs. There was a time when, you know, you know, political opponents, they tear each other apart, you know, in Parliament or whatever, and then go and have a drink in the bar. That's how it should be, not this. We are so divided as a country now. That's the frightening thing. That is the frightening thing. Getting you, I'll have to maybe get you to post the link out. This book is very tough. The guy is neither side. The whole thing is written from a neutral point of view, but looking at it from like a helicopter view of, and it makes a lot of sense. It really does.
I would definitely get it posted. Yeah. It's gotten messy. It's definitely gotten messy.
Yeah. Oh, well, but, you know, on the plus side, it's soon be Christmas. Whoopee.
Yay! No, I'm excited. My neighbors and people on our street have already started putting up their decorations, and I got so excited, and the boyfriend still said no. I have to wait.
No, damn right. Good on you, Christian. No. I truly believe, you know, people who, put their Christmas stuff up before... at least before December, should be tortured and killed, personally. You know, I think that's fair.
We have our new neighbors, they just moved in, like, I think it was, like, Halloween weekend, I think they were moving in. And they've already have theirs up, and I feel like we have to keep up with them. I mean, we can't let them win, can we? I'm excited. I can't wait.
I actually noticed... on the gates for our estate, we actually got an honourable mention in the Halloween decoration. I didn't even know there was a thing, you know. I like to think it's because I've allowed most of the grass at the front to die, so it gave it that great, because I'm a little gravestones. It gave it that great sort of unkempt, rugged graveyard sort of appeal. So obviously, I've done something right.
Obviously, yeah. No, I can't wait to decorate for Christmas. I can't wait.
Yeah, I can. I can. I'm just really bar humbug. Really bar humbug.
Oh, yeah. And
What?
I was just, you know, I can't wait to start requesting Christmas songs for you to play. And
I can't wait to start saying no.
I know. I think you did one last year for me. You know, that was finally, it. I think one. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Well, it's like my token Christmas decoration on the Hellbound Books website, which I put put the little Christmas hat on the demon, and that's it. That's as far as it goes.
I love it. I think it's adorable. I look forward to this time. I was asking you just last week, I think it was, where's our demon guy with the hat? Yeah, he's cute.
He'll come out for Christmas. Don't you worry. Don't you? Yay. Only a few more weeks. But no, the whole, you know, so the minute they start playing Christmas songs at Kroger, I'll go back to doing home delivery, I think. I just hate the whole thing now. I'm just old and grumpy. Anyway, speaking of which, I'm assuming we've got some sort of show going on this evening, or is it just you and me blathering all night?
Yeah, the guests are going to wonder. No, we have a great show tonight, and I'm so happy that they have agreed to come back again. I think this will be their third appearance on our show. We have I'm choking, sorry. We have the host of Thorn and Cross. I know. We have the guest of Thorn and Cross Haunted Nights Live with us, Alistair Cross and Tamara Thorne. And I can't wait to talk to them because they're great. They're so much fun.
Okay, fine. Well, should we bring them on then? Let's do this.
All right. Tonight's guest, we have the host of Thorn and Cross Haunted Nights Live. Woo!
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hey guys. How are you?
How are you?
I'm miserable. How are you?
We're miserable.
Yeah. No. We're always miserable. Oh, we're fine. We're easy to get along with.
Always miserable.
We don't really care.
Always. Yeah. No. Thank you, James, so much for joining us. It's always a delight.
Yeah. Yeah. I love coming.
Yeah, James doesn't talk to many people throughout the week, so that you know, we get our blather in before we bring on the guests, and then there's just so much to blather about right now. There's so much going on. And,
I know, right?
Yeah.
True, we don't watch the TV, so
We try not to. We try not to, but yeah, no,
yeah.
It's an interesting time for sure.
God. Yeah, I try not to listen to much TV, but you know, you just sign into Facebook or social media, and oh God,
exactly.
I mean there have been times that I have just wanted to unplug from everything, because I mean, throughout this whole year, I think I've definitely had periods where it just gets too much, and I start dreaming about things, and I'm like, oh, there's, you know, I have to back away.
Right.
So
we ignore it as much as we can. You know, don't read Facebook, just post and go away, and we're working harder than ever. We've got so much going on, we don't think about the real world, just our world.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah,
but you know what? It's really interesting. I liked what you were saying. You know, earlier though, about the division. It's crazy. You're right. It's like you can't say anything. I just don't even say anything.
No.
Let people assume whatever they
want.
Too
ugly. Yeah.
Yep.
Wear Teflon armor and just this. You know.
Yep.
I have definitely seen that. I cannot post. I don't on my page. I don't post any kind of political nothing, not jokes, not nothing. I just stay in silent throughout the whole thing, because I've seen friends of mine who have had different political views just get, you know, slaughtered. I share things from like previous years that I think are funny, but that's about it right now. I'm like, it's just. It's become way too toxic.
Great once in a while we come across something that's so funny.
We have to.
That we just can't resist. And we talk about it first. We're like, okay, I have this and I want to put it up because it's hilarious. it's slightly political, but the point is it's hilarious. Are you willing to be totally, you know, crucified for this? And if it's funny enough, we're like, yeah, let's do it.
but
that's rare.
But
that's
like
rare.
Yesterday we had Dahmer jokes, and that's so much nicer than, you know, political jokes.
I think I stole that post. Yeah, that was pretty funny about, you know, Thanksgiving dinner. You're not going to tell me. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it? I forget which state it is now. I can't remember, but I've seen something now where a governor of one of the states is saying that even they say you need to wear your mask even inside your own home. If you have like family members coming for things, yes. I'm like, can they do that? I mean, I don't even think that's
I don't see how they can. Now, California is hardcore. They just put a 10 p.m. curfew for everybody that isn't a worker of some
because
sort.
Because COVID only comes out at night,
people. They're trying to keep people in.
Yes,
it does. And yeah, it's very spooky. It comes in on little cat feet and, you know, gets you. But yeah, everybody's so.
Well, it's like
my rights.
Over in England, they just embarked on another 4-week lockdown, and the list of it's just like it's so arbitrary. You've got this is lockdown, but they can do football matches, soccer matches, and all the schools are. And they've locked everything down.
Yeah.
But if you don't send your kid to school, you could be arrested and fined. You could face like $1,000 fine or whatever.
That's crazy.
It's like, well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm here. I have an 11-year-old. Child, yeah, and kids, as you know, are germ magnets. And she's been going to school since September when they were allowed back to school. She goes to school. My son, he's 18. He works. Doesn't wear a mask, and he works. He works in makes signage, that sort of thing. You know, and here we are. Fine. I had a dose of this thing back in late February, early March, and I survived it and all the rest of it. I was even more miserable And that's saying a lot, actually. But
it is.
You know.
Yeah.
And yeah, as I said on the intro there, you know, everything is just so. I used to enjoy going to the supermarket. It was fun, just going looking for different things. And now I just go, get what I want, come home. You know, it's saving me money because I just can't be bothered to look for shit. Yeah, we've been eating pretty much the same things for the past 7 months now. You know, it's just like, we'll get some steak, we'll get some burgers, we'll get... Because I just don't, because I've got this mask on and, you know, and... The biggest thing for me is the dehumanization of the whole thing. You wear that mask and... You know, just even, you know, they say around the supermarket, you know, you're getting mm-hmm. somebody's way and normally you don't, sorry, smile on that. You know, it's just that.
Yes.
But, you know, like you know, 80% of our body, you know, our visual facial expression is gone. You know, and I don't know, it might just be me, but I feel more aggressive. Somebody gets in my way, and I want to tear their bastard head off. This little old lady, she's loitering.
Yeah.
You have delayed me getting to the Funyuns. I'm going to fucking kill you, bitch. You know, and it's just like that rage. And I'm calling it mask rage because she'll turn around. Normally, you know, she'll turn around, look at you, and give you that little old lady smile. So you know that, but there's none of the shit. You see the eyes. You know, and everything in the eyes, and you can't control, you know, what your eye is. So your smile can't counterbalance the evil in your eyes. And it does.
Yeah,
but
right.
I just have that aggressive response. And I would hazard a guess it's not just me. Or is it?
You know,
probably not.
I just, it's definitely not.
I think it's not bad here, though. Yeah, everybody here in SoCal, the store, we have a store within walking distance, so we go there all the time. And you put your mask on when you get to it and take it off when you come out. And everybody seems very mellow, and it's not bad. And,
you know,
the only thing go ahead.
You know, if things would just make a little more sense to me, like I'm seeing so many things that, like my son, you know, he had to distance learn mm-hmm. for the first like month or so of school, but yet he could mm-hmm. get a job during the pandemic. So he can get a job,
right.
but he can't go to school. I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me.
No.
And another one that I get so heated up about, and I think it's because I'm a mom, I have two kids. Well, the babies, they don't have to wear a mask. Okay, I understand that the baby is not going to, you know, but still, if I had a baby myself and I was so scared of this pandemic that I had to wear a mask, my baby
mm-hmm.
would. I mean, I don't get that when you see a family. You got a mom and a dad and a, like, six-year-old, and they got masks. Their baby doesn't. I'm like, in my mind, I'm going, what, is the baby expendable? I mean, like, that's awful to say, but... But I'm like, why?
Right,
I mean, that does not make sense to me at all. And,
I think the idea is that the babies can't breathe as easily as the rest of us. I don't know. But,
babies,
don't want to suffocate them anyway,
so,
you know.
Why not say don't take the baby out?
Yeah,
well, that's what
they
ought
to do. The baby is still going to be breathing. The baby is still capable of the baby. I mean, they cough. I mean, to be fair, more so. The baby's not going to cover it. It's not even coughs and sneezes. It's going to, the baby is more capable of spreading this deadly virus than mum and dad, you know, because it's about, so keep the fucking little shit at home, you know?
Or, as Stina
says, you know, it's not got a mask on. And funny, I mean, obviously, the very young, the very old, the infirm, et cetera, we know the drill now, are in the key at-risk groups, apparently. So, and like you say, if anybody, they should make them wear like a goldfish bowl over their head or something.
I'm all for the goldfish bowl.
And, another thing.
Yeah.
When the argument is, well, you know, it protects you from the droplets. Okay,
don't say droplets.
When was the last time a stranger coughed or sneezed on you? Like, really, when was the last time? Because as an adult, I can't remember ever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, my kids did it. But, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Oh,
exactly.
I had in line at the grocery store. I hate how close people get in the grocery store. They always have. I like them having masks on when they're behind me because I don't want to go home and have to wash the germs out of my hair. It's gross.
Are you saying that you've actually had somebody cough in the back of your head, though?
Frequently. Not since COVID.
Well,
we have 6 foot stars to step on. But yeah.
I like watched people come up and like kind of like cough on their hand or cough into their hands and then go on and like touch things
yeah.
that I'm going to touch. Like that. But I've never actually had somebody cough into the back of my head.
No.
That's almost hilarious.
It's usually.
Well,
and it's disgusting.
I mean, the thing is, think of the process, yeah? You go to the grocery store. Okay, so you go to the grocery store and you get something, you pick your tin of tomatoes off the shelf, yeah? So go back to them. Somebody has unpacked, in fact, somebody's packed them first and foremost into a box and shipped them.
Sure.
Somebody has unpacked them from the box in the back. Somebody then has put them on the shelf and arranged them. Somebody, probably like me, has picked it up to read what the ingredients are. Oh, tomatoes. sorry. Tomatoes. And obviously
Spiders.
Put them back. Having picked my nose, scratched my ass, so I've got all this grubbiness on my fingers, put it back on the shelf. So you pick that up, put it in your trolley with all the other things that everybody else has touched, take it to the checkout, put it on the little thing, then the checkout woman handles it, then the bagging guy handles it, then you take it. So it's about a dozen people has touched that tin of tomatoes, yeah?
Right.
Yeah,
but
as long as your mouth is covered, you're fine.
But so you've got your mask on, you're safe.
The funniest part to me is, you drive by a restaurant, it's crowded. You drive by a movie theater, it's crowded. You go to the grocery store, it's crowded. Then you go to the gym. It's dead. Nobody wants to get the COVID at the gym.
No, I know.
There's a little bit of convenience going on here.
To be fair, Alice, I think that's people don't want to go to the gym. I think that's what it is.
I'm kind of thinking so too. Yeah, I was really jarred by that. I'm all so nobody's batting an eye about going to the movies, but when it comes to the gym. Oh my God, we can't go there. I'm like, hey,
yeah.
It works for me. It gives me more free space, but whatever.
Yeah, do you know, and I was about to join the gym when all this started, so, what are you going to do?
We just noticed our
local
gym.
Well, if you're
going to
do it, I recommend
has
it now.
Set up in the parking lot. Yeah, our local gym is now using their parking lot. All their equipment is out there, and these people are out there exercising and social distancing, but they're all wearing the mask. I don't know how anybody exercises with a mask, and that's the thing. Yesterday,
they say you're not supposed to.
No, it's not good for you. And yesterday, our governor, it was all in the news, everybody's got to wear a mask when they're outside. That's the top headline. That's the secondary headline is, unless you're more than 6 feet away from people, you don't have to wear it when you're outside. Just carry one in case you get close to other people. So we walk twice a day, a couple miles. We have masks in our pocket, and everybody else is outside walking, riding their bikes, mowing the lawn with their masks on, and they give us stink eye, and it's like, fuck you, I'm not wearing a mask while I'm walking.
Well, it's like these
half-wits
you see driving around in their car by themselves.
Oh, I know.
With their mask on.
I saw a funny meme that I almost put up, but I thought, no, I'm not going to put it up because it's just, but I'll say it here. I saw this meme that I really, really liked that said, driving in your car by yourself with your mask on is like fingering your own ass and screaming, wrong hole, wrong hole.
Yes.
Oh, God,
I would share that.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's true.
I've
seen the meme I just saw recently that tickled me was, if you could see it, and it had all the coronavirus, you know, what they tell you it looks like, mm-hmm. it was all in the yeah. air, it was up in the sky, and it was all mm-hmm. over. You know, if you could see it, would you, you know, wear a mask? I'm thinking, really? It's floating in the atmosphere? Really? I didn't know it was doing that.
Yeah.
They're shooting it out of their contrails, don't you know? Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things that I obviously, you know, I'm going to follow the guidelines. I'm going to do what I need to do. And I certainly don't want to, you know, unwittingly pass this to someone that it would be, you know, really yeah. detrimental for. And I do know people that it's, you know, and it's very, you know, kind of unnerving, because I know people that I really can't really go around just in case, because they would definitely yeah. not survive.
Yeah.
You know, but
right.
it gets to a point where it's, and I think that's part of the problem, is people are almost rebelling against it, or they just mm-hmm. don't
yeah.
care anymore, because it's like, you know, we're pushing so hard for something and making everything so stilted and complicated, and people are like, you know,
yeah.
screw
yeah.
this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Part of that is because they're creating it as they go along. I mean, they're still learning, but it's still,
do
you're
you
absolutely
do
right.
Do you remember when it first came out? We were told, I remember the very, very, very first thing that we were told when this came out is masks are absolutely useless. Do not go get masks.
Right.
It's pointless.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then 3 weeks later,
that.
Oh my God, everybody go get a mask. And it's very confusing, and that's a big part of it too. People mm-hmm. are,
yes.
you know,
yes.
and I'm not blaming anybody for that. You know, it's a new thing, and people are not sure what to do, but that's,
yeah.
you know, there are other countries that have, you know, been like, this is what we're going to do, because this is what this is what we know about it. And it's very simple, and it just works differently. And I don't know what's
yeah.
going on here, why it's so different here.
They haven't stuck to it. We're too
yeah.
busy.
Yeah.
You know,
because
no shoes, no service. Yeah.
It's the
yeah,
confusion,
it's
you know,
confusion.
People don't, that we've been, I mean, you know, governed by idiots, people don't understand it. You have, you know, obviously a president who refused to listen to science, refused to listen to experts because he knew
mm-hmm.
better. This is why, this
That's
is why it's such a mess.
Yeah.
This is a
right.
big part
it
of
is.
It.
That's the worst thing.
I actually agree. I think
yeah.
that one of the biggest things, that is different about it here and other places is we have had absolutely no leadership. We have no leaders.
No.
We have none.
Mm-mm.
We have none.
And
that,
well,
that
it's
does
almost,
not make for...
No.
Yeah.
And it's almost worse than that, because the leadership has said, oh, I'm not wearing a mask. And so everybody,
yeah.
the followers of that particular creature
yeah.
go around saying, it's against
yeah,
my
and
rights as an American.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
yeah. And
screw you.
You know, and, there's,
yeah.
and it reaches a certain point where you're like, you know, when they push so hard and they push so, and it reaches a certain point where it's like, I totally get it. I get why people are getting pissed off about this shit.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
like, what do you want us to do? You know,
mm-hmm.
especially
yeah.
when things just don't make sense. Like I said, you know, my kid can get a job, but
agree.
He can't go to school. And I'm like,
yeah.
oh,
yeah.
God, you know.
Right.
That
no,
just,
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
You know,
it's like
yeah.
there needs
yep.
to be some clear, you know, guidelines to follow. There needs
yeah.
to be
we
a clear
picture. We got
clarity
yesterday. The state, the county I live in is the biggest one in California. It's bigger than New England, all the states combined. And they
wow.
just announced no more in-person school till the next, you know, in the 2021 season. And
wow.
Every place is doing that now. But
I am fearing
kids.
That.
I can't stand being around one. Yeah.
I have a question for you guys, though, for all of you. I just, and this is just out of curiosity, and this is just, you know, I know nobody really, really knows, but I'm just curious. Why do you guys think that this has become, okay, why do you guys think that this has become what it is? Like, why isn't this like other pandemics that have swept across the world, obviously, you know, multiple times, you know, each century.
We don't believe it can happen anymore.
Is that yeah. what it is? you think?
To me, that's probably one of the main things. We live in a world where nobody actually dies when you see them die on TV. Where it's all entertainment. Nobody dies, and people don't believe in it. I'm sure there's a lot of other reasons, but that one always comes to mind for me.
You know,
what do you guys think?
For me, during this particular one, we have had so much misinformation. We've had so many lies. We've had so many things that just contradict that. I am at the point where I don't even know what to believe. I seriously don't. I mean, I have known nurses that are telling me something different than what I'm seeing the news telling me. And, you know,
right.
Then we're seeing the news. Oh my God, the numbers are rising and the hospitals are overflowed. I have been to the hospital 3 or 4 times during the pandemic with, you know, twice with one kid, once with the other kid, mm-hmm. once for myself, and never once was it even busy. So I'm like,
right.
What do you believe?
Depends on
like,
where you
what
are,
do you
yeah.
believe? I said, but in my area, they're telling us that the numbers are horrible and the hospitals are overflowing. Well, which one? Because ours is.
Yeah.
You know, and I.
Okay,
I
can actually vouch for this too. I'm signed up for news updates. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just. This is just my observation. I get a news update, a text that says, you know, warning, alert, yada yada yada. Unsustainable. The hospital capacity has reached unsustainable. Okay.
Yeah.
Gone to the hospital and that's simply not true.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm wondering, and I don't understand this. You know, I've had people look me right in the eye and tell me, you know, oh my uncle who committed suicide, he hung himself and they put him down for, you know, oh he died of COVID.
Yes.
And then
mm-hmm.
I find out later that's not true. I find out later that's not true. So why are you lying to me, telling me that, you know, so I'm just curious what the goal is. What's the point of all of this? What are we trying
scary
to achieve?
That is the scary part that I have not figured out.
I want to keep people in line. It's a big game of whispers. Now, a very close friend of mine, Alistair's too, her husband is a biologist working on the front line, working on a cure, and he's almost ready to go ahead and take the first vaccines. But he speaks to worldwide epidemiologists. They're actually in his rock and roll band when they can travel all the time. And he thinks there may be a decent vaccine by May, you know, but it'll take a while to roll it out. But that was what he told me last week. And so I don't know. I know they don't say people died of COVID. You know, doctors don't do that.
That would require an entire nationwide conspiracy.
Right.
That every doctor in the nation is in on for some reason that has some motivation to lie, and that doesn't
has
make
that
sense
ever
to me. That
stopped
defies,
people?
That defies
no.
logic to me, and I can't get past that.
No, conspiracies are what they are. That's because people love that crap. And no, of course not. But you people don't think logically. They don't know
but
how to think logically.
Have, and then
they
you
hear
have,
this
on the
stuff.
Other hand, then you have the absolute COVID deniers who sit and say, "Oh, this isn't even real. It's just a glorified cold." And it's like, I think it's a little more serious than that. I mean, obviously, it's more serious than that.
But
that's and it's,
that's the confusion
what's
as
so
well
hard
because
about,
you have people. Yeah, that's the confusion as well, because you have people who have it or test positive that aren't even sick, and then you have people who, you know, I mean, so that's the confusing part as well, because, you know, I can test positive, and I'm not even sick, so you're like, wait a second.
Right.
You know, so I mean, that and you know, what you were saying, Alistair, about how, you know, it would have to be this worldwide, you know, thing going on that everybody's lying or whatever, but we've seen some of the lies. I mean, we've actually seen it firsthand, some of the lies. So, what is the plan? Like, what is what are they doing?
What's the point?
Yeah.
What is it that we're trying to achieve here? Because why can't we just, you know, I remember other pandemics. I remember other, situations. You come out, you say, this is what it is. This is what we do about it. This is, you know, And this is what you do to protect yourself and others. It's very simple. To me, this is very, very simple. We need to live our lives to the best of our ability. We need to take certain precautions. And more importantly than anything, we
exactly.
need to protect the vulnerable. We need to,
yeah.
I
know,
agree with that, yeah.
We need to do that. Otherwise, life has to go on.
Yes,
it
sure.
just
yes.
does. It just
yeah.
does. And,
yeah.
and you know, like it or not, this is you know, not the Black Plague. This is not, and it's
no.
you know, but it is real. It is real, and it will kill you
mm-hmm.
if you are, if you know, and it's
sure.
affecting people differently, and that's the scary thing. Some people get it, and it's like nothing. It's like they don't even have any symptoms, and other people get it, and it kills them.
Yeah.
You know, but we
yeah.
need to, we know enough to know that we need to take certain precautions, and we need to protect the vulnerable. Other than that, I don't
mm-hmm.
understand why it has to be about politics. I don't understand why it has to be about, you know, these
they
big
made
conspiracies
it about politics.
And all this rebellion.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Oh,
and
this was supposed to end the minute the election ended, according to the conspiracy net.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
It was just going to all be over. Okay, roll my eyes, move along. It,
yeah.
It's, everything's got an agenda. But Alistair's
yeah,
totally right.
I get really mad at both extreme sides of the thinking, because
mm-hmm.
both of them are so wrong. It's like, okay, first of
yes.
all, you know, we cannot not live. We will collapse if we shut
mm-hmm.
everything down and just you
mm-hmm.
don't understand the repercussions of that. Read an economics book. You cannot
yeah.
just shut everything down indefinitely. I also
yeah, no.
get angry. I also get angry at people who are like, I don't give a shit. I'm going to survive it. Yeah, well, guess what? My mom won't.
Yeah.
I guarantee
yeah,
you
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I agree.
I guarantee you this. I don't care that it's no big deal to you. It's
right.
a big deal to me. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. So
it's
you know, so why can't we all just use our freaking common sense? You know,
not everybody has
a little
any.
Bit of reason.
That's
and,
no
and,
fun.
You know,
they're, yeah.
function.
Cat fight.
Anyway, now I'm all pissed off.
yeah. No, it's the drama mongers.
Well,
they love the drama, the conspiracy nuts. They just enjoy this stuff.
I was going to say, on that note, I think we're going to take a short break. Because we have to, like, you know, oh, well, James has to pee. That's really what it is. So
thank
we're going
to
take a short break.
All.
And play a song and don't go anywhere, because we're going to come back and actually talk books this time, maybe. So
right. Marvelous. Marvelous. Okay, we'll be right back.
Panicroom Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Welcome back to part two.
Oh, where's the studio people? What have you doing with them, Xtina? Where's our studio people?
I don't know.
Where's
I don't
people?
Know.
Oh, hang on. Here we go. There we go. There you go.
See,
I think they must all nodded off there for a moment. So
my worst fear or whatever is that you're not going to be there when the music, you know, winds down and stuff. And then I always, because there was a time that I just started babbling, and then realized that I was muted, so it didn't matter if I babbled or not. Nobody could hear me. So now I'm like, I panic, which, you know, welcome to the panic room. But, yeah, I panic every time. I'm like, oh, God, is he not going to be there? And then just me. Yeah, so I get my little bit of a high
blood
pressure every Thursday. Yeah.
I'm always here.
Except for when. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right,
yeah,
so,
except for. Next week.
What?
We're not gonna be here next week, though. Next week is Thanksgiving. We're not gonna
it
be here.
It is Thanksgiving. That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
exciting. So let's bring Alistair and Tamara back. Are we there, guys?
There. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. So, you know,
Tamara? It's not Tamara, right? It's Tamara.
No,
right.
Tamara rhymes with camera.
Yay!
No, no, I know.
We like it, but we like it when he calls her Tamara because then we get to call him Hemez.
No, that's great. No, I'm going to have to correct you there. It is Tamara, so there's... There you go.
Hemez.
There's that.
Yeah, that's fine. I like that.
Hemez lawnmower.
Oh,
yes. I wish I could pronounce it because I always want to call her Christina.
Wow.
Finish the thin ice with that one.
I think somebody should put James in their book as, you know, that character with the lawnmower. Yeah, I think that'd
right.
be really funny. So, yeah, that's
yeah.
a bad guy.
Hemez lawnmower?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, we can do that.
Moving on. Moving on. So, Alistair and Tamara are here to talk to us about many things. Alistair has his own project, the book The Black Wasp, and Tamara has her book Old Wives' Tales, and their collaboration is Spite House. So, where do we start, guys?
We always have, you know, there's also Ravencrest. We're working on the fourth book in the Ravencrest saga, which is a gothic horror.
Oh, my goodness.
So there's always four things going on. We have two collaborations, the Ravencrest, which is ongoing, and then the main collaboration, which is usually a standalone. And then we each have a solo going at the same time. So we can start wherever you want. We have... We do everything together, so we both know everything that's going on in all of the projects.
Yeah,
we
work on Skype and in the cloud together. And even when we're doing our solos, we're together. It's nice. It's having an office. And I don't know if you wanted the excerpt, that's from Spite House. That we sent.
Okay,
but,
so who's going to read the excerpt?
Oh, I always do.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
I'm a bad reader. Let
I am too. I'm
a bad listener. Yeah.
Yeah. Xtina's terrible. She really is terrible. So
I am.
If you want to,
I thought I was
halfway
decent until we started doing audiobooks. our readers
always
we should have our reader for our audiobooks do it. But,
Alistair,
you tell them about Spite House.
Okay, this will be our first public showing of anything really out of Spite House. This one Well, first I'll tell you a little bit about what it's been like. Then I'll tell you briefly about the story. I can't really say a whole lot about the story, but this has been by far, I have to say, the hardest book I've ever written. And the main reason for that is we really we started out with this pretty straightforward idea. We got inspired along the way. We added a whole bunch of layers and mysteries and things that we ended up going, this is out of control, and then we started peeling it away, and now we're back to a much more simple form. And so there's been a lot of stopping and starting. There's been a lot of adding and subtracting.
Yeah.
So it's been a really, really difficult project, but it is finally nearing the end. We expect it to be out, I'd say, in early 2021, no later than spring, I wouldn't think. And it, what it is, very simply, is it's about a group of writers who go to a famous old, you know, house that's shrouded in mystery and, you know, rumors and myths. And going there to kind of they're working on a group project where they really kind of find the truth and refine the history of this house and the island that it's on. And it's called Manchester House, Manchester Island, and the locals call it Spite House.
And I want to say one thing there. Last year when Alistair and I went to Winchester House, I've been going there since I was a little kid. And so we went, that was his first time. And they had revised the history of Winchester House once more.
Yeah.
And yes, Sarah Winchester is now this wonderful old lady who was just kind to her servants. When I was a kid, there was a screened-in servants' bathroom. And in that bathroom, it was huge. And we saw it repeatedly. My mom and I both saw it. She could spy on her servants from that bathroom. And what she did. Now, every time we go there, I ask, so what happened to the screened-in bathroom? Oh, that was just a rumor. I saw it.
Oh,
it was something else. And it was just a joke. And, you know, sometimes they talked about it. I've even been told I didn't actually see it and just thought I did. So that helped inspire us. And this house does have a screened-in bathroom in it that they're denying. So they're redoing they're redoing Spite House
kind of
the same way they're redoing Winchester.
I love haunted house things, and I would so be a part of that group of authors going to a haunted house, as long as I could share a room with somebody who wasn't afraid of ghosts like I am. So I'm such a big wuss. I seriously am. It's funny because I love the scary stuff, but at the same time, if I ever saw a ghost, I would freak. I really would. Yeah. You know, we've been watching a lot of those haunted, what are those shows? The Ghost Hunter shows. Do you guys watch any of those?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, over the years, I've even been on them,
Really? That is so cool. Is there any that you think are, like, more, you know, legitimate than the other ones? Because, don't laugh. That's sick.
Shows are made for TV. They have to produce. I've been hunting for many, many years, and we have seen things. I've seen things with friends. My husband and I have seen a few things. But Alistair and I, the first time we got together in person, we stayed in a haunted cabin I'd been invited to check out. And so I said, why don't you come along? We'll get to know each other. And yes, we did. It had anomalies. We don't know what they were, but it definitely qualified as what you might call haunted. We think that there was a lot of geomagnetic weirdness there. We don't really know, but stuff happened. One night, I think it was the last night, we ended up sitting in my little Subaru all night long because we scared ourselves so badly. We were behaving like 10-year-olds at that point. And
I would have been in the car with
fun.
You because
but you know what? Creepy things actually did happen there. We won't get into that.
Yeah.
But we actually wrote a little thing. It's called Five Nights in a Haunted Cabin, and we wrote it up and put it out. It's in ebook. You can get it on Amazon. But actually, creepy things did happen. We didn't totally freak ourselves out. There was creepy things happening there.
We don't know, but there were cold spots in certain rooms in particular. You couldn't keep your sense of direction. We got lost very close to the cabin when we were walking, and that was but there were no birds either. So that spoke to the geomagnetic anomalies. But there were cold spots. There was poltergeist activity. And then the scariest thing was something was knocking on the walls outside the cabin during the night, and there were no trees near it. And there were no footsteps the next morning, and that was fun, wasn't it?
It was, in hindsight. In hindsight, yes, it was. It was fun. But yeah,
yeah.
We. It's interesting. We have our kind of ideas of what these things are, and it's hard to say. I think it's in my opinion, it's. I think it was Agatha Christie who said, you know, that the supernatural of today is the science of tomorrow. You know,
exactly.
I think there are things that we think are supernatural that really are just part of science, but they're a part of science that we haven't yet discovered, that
right.
we don't really
even,
know about. So I'm inclined
yeah,
that way a little more.
Me too. And I have seen two actual apparitions with other people. So, you know, we assumed they were real till they disappeared. But I don't think I've ever seen anything I would say is a thinking spirit, like, woo, except deathbed spirit. My mom appeared when she died, and I thought I was hallucinating till my sister called and told me she was dead. And she came and said goodbye to me, and she always said, I know you like ghost stories, so when I die, I'm going to say goodbye. And I looked up, saw her standing in a doorway, and she waved and mouthed something, and then I realized she'd said bye. And that was the last time I saw her, and it was so cool. That would never scare you, trust me. It's wonderful. But that's the only thing I've seen that was thinking, you know.
Wow, that's awesome.
It is.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, in the world of fiction, however, we get to do whatever we want.
That's right.
And in Spite House, they you know, it really is. There's questions of, is it haunted or is this just a lot of, you know, nonsense? And without giving anything away, one thing that I will say about the poor writers who have decided to dedicate their time to Spite House is, really, at the end of the day, the ghosts are the least that they should be worried about. There's really a lot of really creepy stuff going on in that house.
Mm-hmm. We know that there's at least one ghost. That's been confirmed, but that is not a problem.
Right.
It's quite nice, but we don't know how many other ones there are.
I'm excited for the excerpt, Tamara. You gonna read it for us? Yay!
Sure, and it's very short. And this is the first night where everyone's gathered at the dining room table. There's like what, 8 or 9 writers? I forget now. We keep changing the numbers. It's their first night, and we're coming from
there's
the point of view. Yeah, we're coming from Nathan Dalrymple's point of view, and he's a mystery writer and one of our good guys. You know, that means we won't show him having sex. anyway, he's a mystery writer. And there's a character named Louisa Ingalls you're going to meet, and she hates him because she knows that he walks his dog on a leash. How dare he put his dog on a leash? Okay, that's probably all the lead in to what these Louisa is like. You need to know. All right, here we go. Nathan Dalrymple watched Louisa Ingalls eat her onion soup with a heartiness rarely seen in vegans. It was excellent soup, and while Nathan was no chef, he'd often been told he had an unusually discerning palate. And there was no denying it, he discerned beef. Smiling to himself, he sipped from his water goblet and looked at his fellow diners. Everyone except Bernie Bridges appeared to be enjoying the first course. Chop, chop! Bernie called to Leland Chen, waving his glass. He was clearly more interested in wine than soup. Nathan stifled a laugh when he realized it was ice cubes the man wanted. He watched, amused, as Leland used miniature tongs to drop miniature cubes into Bernie's expensive wine, then waited while the erstwhile professor tasted it, smacking his big rubbery lips together like a duck sifting water. There's more like that, Bernie announced with a misplaced sense of, I'm sorry, that's more like it. Let's get dyslexic. There's more like it, Bernie announced with a misplaced sense of self-importance not seen since that reality TV star ran for president. Bernie wagged his finger at Leland, the young man who possessed an admirable ability to keep a straight face. I don't care what the so-called wine connoisseurs tell you, Bridges cleared his throat. They're a bunch of effete snobs. Wine should always be chilled and liberally laced with ice cubes. It was then that Bernie realized everyone was watching. He raised his glass. Surely you all agree. Silence reigned supreme as guests refused to validate his pronouncement. But there was always one. You're full of shit, Bernie, proclaimed Miranda Beaumont as she drained her wine glass. More please, Leland. No ice. Bridges' beady little pig eyes landed on her, his nose wrinkling as if he smelled truffles. I'd expect someone of your breeding to argue with me. Miranda laughed as Leland refilled her glass. You look like a frog, Bernie, a great big fat bespeckled bullfrog. I'd expect that of someone with your breeding, she smirked. No wonder you had to manhandle all those college students. No one would ever touch a toad like you unless you paid them. Bernie turned purple. Those are groundless rumors. Say it again and my lawyer will be calling you. Nathan cleared his throat before smoke could shoot from Bernie's ears. How do y'all like this beautiful house? That's all.
I like it. I like it. I want more. And I just want
to
say...
It's so hard to find stuff that gives nothing away. That's
I want to say I am the lots of ice person. I always want extra ice. I like the ice.
Honestly, I hate wine. The only way I can even pretend to drink it is to fill it with ice. I hate wine. Ugh, nasty.
I like it cold. You know, this funny little story. I texted my son earlier tonight, and I asked him if he would bring me up my my water, and I wanted ice. Well, of course, I sent that two different texts, so all he sees is, I want ice. He comes up here with a handful of ice. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. kids, you know, kids. But
he's following orders. I'd say that he's actually paying attention and following orders pretty well.
Yeah.
He gave me
a literal
answer.
Child.
Yeah.
He's very exact.
I wanted to say with the I'm trying not to get on Facebook as much because of all the drama, but I love seeing when I do come on, I see Alistair's posts. He'll post like a page from whatever you guys are working on, and then do the thing where I threw this in, and Tamara didn't know it, and it's, I love those. I find myself reading them out loud to the boyfriend. It's so great.
We've been doing that since we first began writing together, but now we're saving them up because people really seem to like that. And he usually does
great.
It because I'm usually reading, and he'll go on ahead and put something in for me to read out loud that is far more obscene than anything you've seen on Facebook.
There are things that we've put in there that I wouldn't even dare put on Facebook, and we've actually done this too. So every one of our books goes through three or four editors before it even goes to publishing. Anyway, several editors.
Actually four, but we have one reader.
We've actually let it go because the first editor, we never let it get past the first editor, but we actually have planted little things for the first editor. And one time, and I can't tell you what it was because it was really, really, really vulgar. And it's really vulgar. And we got it back and it circled and it's like, are you for real? She wrote, are you for real?
I love it.
We always put something in for her now. Yeah, she's our only editor who reads for content and gets to tell us what she thinks we're getting carried away. The rest are all, line editors. And but the first one, we like to amuse her. It wasn't dirty, but it was absolutely ridiculous. I don't remember what it was. And it got, and our first editor cracked up, but we knew what it was. So we left it in for our line editor, who is absolutely just nose to the grindstone. She doesn't make any comments, no matter what. And it was something totally outrageous. She never said a word, didn't correct it or anything. Well, she put like a comma in.
What it was, it was actually in my book, Sleep, Savannah, Sleep, and it's a murder mystery. And actually what it was, I remember this, we put in there, something's going on and everything's all intense and he's getting ready to veil the big mystery. And then he sat down on the bed and smiled to himself, pleased because he had such a great, big, huge dick.
Yes.
And she didn't even say anything. She didn't even. She'll correct commas. She'll correct any kind of. Any kind of grammatical issue. But in the middle of just the big showdown, he pauses and starts thinking about how happy he is that he has such a big dick. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, yeah, that's cool. You spelled it right.
Yeah.
You didn't use any grammatical, you know, nothing grammatically wrong.
I have to say, we call that pulling a coot, because years ago we would, my husband and I would read like Dean Koontz out loud to each other, read a book out loud, and he would go along, he'd build all the excitement, and the worst one was the girl has seen her parents murdered. She runs out to the stable to get away on her horse, you know, from these horrible people who killed her parents. And then she stops and starts petting the horse and thinking how pretty he is for a few minutes before she leaves. So that's pulling a coot. We love to pull coots.
We do, but the difference is ours never make it to publication.
No,
should they?
No,
his does is beyond me.
I love them. I do. I find myself looking for them. I'm like, you know, because I got to have something, some kind of enjoyment in my Facebook days, and this is what I do. I look for these posts because they're great, and I read them a lot. You know, I was doing some editing last night, and you know, it reminded me of your editor when I was reading a sentence, and I'm like, well, it's not wrong, really, you know, but I was definitely thinking, you know, I probably wouldn't say it like that, but it's not wrong, so okay, fine, I'll let it go.
I had the line editors at regular publishing houses, they'd go, is this a little awkward, do you think? And that particular line editor I loved, because I don't remember if it was male or female, but yeah, when they say it like that, it's like, okay, I really will think about this. And so, the first line editor I ever had tried to, my first novel, she put, I had something about the Lacrimosa play. That's a movement in Mozart's Requiem Mass, means tears. She turned it into lacrimal, which literally means tears. It's the lacrimal gland where your tears. And my real editor said, just ignore those things. Pull the post-its out. You don't need to fixate on that. So I've done that ever since. But that's
awesome.
My writing advice.
These are suggestions, not rules.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right.
I've said to editors, and I've said, you know, you've got to remember, it's we writers that make the rules. So, back off. Really?
Yeah, we goes to the grindstone editor with that. Yeah, we don't want all these, you know, commas, and so now she doesn't put any commas in.
We don't need that many commas.
Yeah.
She's really kind of old school, so her style is like the old days.
I think we pissed her
really,
off.
I made a paragraph that was like, you know, four words or whatever. Oh, you can't do that. Just like,
of course,
you know, just check the commas,
you
love, I can.
I love short paragraphs. I frequently a single line paragraph. That's perfectly fine with me. It does something emotionally. There's a psychological thing there. There's a there's a response that the reader gets from these different ways that you actually format the and structure the sentences in the paragraphs. There's an actual psychological response to that.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think there's necessarily understand that writers more frequently
with
like my Kindle when I'm reading, if I see just a huge text of there's no breaks at all in it, my mind automatically goes
there's a place for that even too, just like with mm-hmm. just like with run on, you know, really long sentences and really long paragraphs. There's a use for that too, because if you're trying to create a sense of claustrophobia closing in or discomfort in the reader, you could really do like a really long paragraph. You could also do, if you wanted a sense of breathlessness, like during a really sexy scene, for example, you could do a really long sentence, and by the end of it, you just feel breathless. You feel, there's a whole psychology to it. So yeah, they can't tell you can't do that. That's bullshit.
No. I totally agree.
I have had so much fun tonight. And before I ask you to tell me where to find you online and all that good stuff, you have to definitely promise to come back and you know, maybe we'll do a show where we won't say we only have like 90 minutes and we'll just rant for like, you know, ever. Because that was so much fun. It was. And I think we all needed it. Yeah.
It was
because, man, the world has just gotten crazy. So it is nice to rant with like-minded people. But, yeah, I do not know how... I do not know how you guys have the time to write four different projects at the same time and still be on, you know, around on Facebook and everything else. And I don't know how you do it. End of your show. That's, you know, and I try not to get out of bed until noon. So, you know, there's
that.
That's
part of what we do.
That
we hate getting up in the morning,
why,
but
yeah,
we do it.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
that,
no, you guys have to.
Help.
You guys have to promise to come back and soon, because that was so much fun. But yeah, tell us real quick where we can find you online.
All right. We both have, I would say, I'm just going to speak for both of us. The easiest thing is to go to both of our websites, because everything that you need to find is there. My website is alistaircross.com and Tamara's is tamarathorne.com. But yeah, if you go there, you can see all information you need about our work, our podcast, our you know, social media,
underwear,
you know, Facebook, Twitter,
sorry,
all that. Yeah, you can see our nudes. You can
yeah.
That's Tamara. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
man,
thank you guys for having us.
Some
we appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. This was so much fun. I can't wait to have you guys back.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
happy,
you
guys.
Happy Thanksgiving to next week.
Happy Thanksgiving for next week.
Happy
okay. Speak to you soon, guys. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
That was so
awesome. Well, that went by far too quick. So, but unfortunately, time has beat us. It is time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.